Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you to another edition of
the Ninja Please Podcast.
I'm your host, Yuki, aka Starman, aka Tomoki Black, and I am here with some of the greatest ninjas to ever do it, because that's just what we do.
Man.
I know, that was like, you know, didn't see that coming.
Tales from the TARDIS, though.
Tales from the TARDIS, man. That's what we're going to call this one.
Mm-hmm. You got the doctor over here. And evidently, somehow, you got the doctor over there, so.
Yeah, man. Your number's up. Ooh.
This is Black, a.k.a. Lord Black, a.k.a. Black Wolf, and you are listening to the Ninja Please Podcast.
Speaking of docs, I finished Alan versus Pharaoh. Yeah, man.
I need to finish it.
Bro, that was a very compelling doc. I reserve all stuff to get there, because that shit gets deep, and it gets very, like, I don't know, it's just very dark. I started into the Q documentary. I watched the first episode of that one. Mm. And I think that's all for the docs I've started this week. I've stuck my nose into.
Well, speaking of docs, this isn't a documentary. This is documents. FBI dropped some more. Alien bodies, spacecraft, and planets.
Mm.
Document declassified by the FBI states part of the disc carries crew. Others are under remote control, and the bodies of the visitors and the craft also automatically materialize on entering the vibratory rate of our dense matter. That's quoted from one of these documents. So they are fulfilling their obligation to declassify shit. Don Podesta's name is on.
Disclosure of UFO files. Time to pull the curtain back on the subject is long overdue. The statements from the most credible sources, those in a position to know about a fascinating phenomenon, the nature of which is yet to be. Classified document was addressed to certain scientists of distinction, the aeronautical and military authorities, and to a number of public officials, quote unquote. The classification document is a letter sent to the director of FBI in Washington from their San Francisco office detailing UFOs and extraterrestrials. Lieutenant Colonel Redacted of G2 San Francisco advised today he has no further information and that our Seattle office is in possession of all information known by him and is handling the matter at Tacoma, Washington. And they show you a file right here, which I will read what it says. As soon as it lets me. Okay. I'm going to read it as much as I can because it won't let me zoom in on it. This memorandum is respectfully addressed to certain scientists of distinction, to important aeronautical and military authorities, to a number of public officials, and to a few publications. The writer has little expectation that anything of import will be accomplished by this gesture. The more feet that the data herein were obtained by so-called supernormal means. Not supernatural, supernormal. That's the first time I've ever seen that. Supernormal means is probably sufficient to ensure its disregard by nearly all the persons addressed. Nevertheless, it seems a public duty to make it available. The present writer has several university degrees and was formerly a university department head. You gotta excuse me for reading it and sounding like I'm jumbling over the word. This not fully, like I can't zoom in on it, and it's not fully HD. Like, I mean, you can see it yourself. I'm trying to read it. It's not fully decompressed. Yeah. A very serious situation may develop at any time with regard to the flying saucers. If one of those should be attacked, the attacking plane will almost certainly be destroyed. In the public mind, this might create near panic and international suspicion. The principal data concerning these crafts is now at hand and must be offered. No matter how fantastic and unintelligible it may seem to minds not previously instructed to think of this type. Then they put this thing into a box. Okay, so the date up at the top of when this occurrence happened was July 8th, 1947, called the Flying Roll. So then under that, they have the details of it in 9 bullet points. Part of the discs carry crews. Other are under remote control. Number 2. Their mission is peaceful. The visitors contemplate settling on this plane. Which means they're extra dimensional if they mean plane of existence or, you know, plane of vibration. Number 3. These visitors are human-like and much larger in size. Number 4. They are not excarnate. I think that's E-X-C-A-R-N-A-T-E, Earth people, but come from their own world. Number 5. They do not come from any quote-unquote planet, as we use this word, but from an otherworldly planet, which interpenetrates with our own and is not perceptible to us. So maybe they exist in the same space as us, but not in the same dimension as us. Number 6. The bodies of the visitors and the craft also automatically materialize, quote-unquote, materialize on entering the vibratory rate of our dense matter. Okay, that's what it is. The disc possesses a type of radiant energy or a ray which will easily disintegrate any attacking ship. They re-enter the etheric at will and so simply disappear from our vision without trace. Etheric, so they go into the spiritual realm, what they think. The region from which they come is not the astral plane, but corresponds to the Lokas or Talos, or Talas. Students of esoteric matters will understand these terms. They probably cannot be reached by radio, but probably can be by radar, indexed by radar, if a signal system can be devised for that. I don't know what this word is. We give information and warning and can do no more. Something can't repeat that. They should be treated with every kindness unless the discs are within a something with which our culture and science are incapable of handling, I think it would say. A heavy responsibility rests upon the few in authority who are able to understand. Addendum something, the locusts are oval shaped. Fluttering, I think it says, beneath San Diego, California. Oval with resisting metal or alloy, not yet something blanked out the front. Oven something, the front, it looks like organ, but that's not right. Front something contains controls. The middle portion, laboratory. The rear contains armaments. Something essentially for the something of energy expenditure. Perhaps a ray. Don't know what these last words are, because it's been off. Yeah. They're holding true.
Woo! Alright.
Wait, that's pages 21 and 22 of this particular flying roll incident. The Round Robin, San Diego, California, July 8th, 1947.
Kenshin live action's about to come to an end.
Kenshin,
the movie, yeah.
It's been years since they made one. I thought that was done with that.
I did too, but this is it. This is, what is it, Kenshin the Final or something like that? That's what it's called. He's getting one more movie, because the last one they did was the whole Kyoto arc and the, I was about to say Sunsweep. Thinking about the Yu Yu Hakusho live action. The guy with all the bandages.
Marvel announces William Shakespeare's Avengers, the complete works.
Okay. William Shakespeare, huh?
Mm-hmm. We make USAA benefits. Not him.
So how does this work? Is it like Avengers spoken in ye old English? Yep. All four films as played by the Bard of Avon. Oh, that's cool.
Hell
authentic
no.
Authentic meter and verse, stage directions, and entertaining Easter eggs. Readers will get to experience their favorite scenes, characters, and lines in a new yet fully faithful way through monologues and dialogue by everyone from Captain America to Groot. Tis I, Groot. Quirk Books is a natural fit for the collection. Eagle. As it's published Shakespearean-style reimaginations of Star Wars, The Force Awakens, The Force Doth Awaken, Back to the Future, William Shakespeare's Get Thee Back to the Future, and Mean Girls, William Shakespeare's Much Ado About Mean Girls. Ian Dozier, author of all three of the titles, will be penning this stylistic adaptation. I'm with that.
Okay. Nah, this is non, here you go. This is non-comic related, but it's something that I came across this week. Thought it was just like super weird, but you know, there was a claim
I saw it that, and that was a shrimp tail, and that probably was some fucking rat poo on the other ones too. I hope they get that lawsuit. That was some shrimp tails, though.
They claim that shrimp tails are fine in Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal box lead to hilarious jokes. Oh man, this is from Complex. They're investigating the matter. They say with confidence that they did not occur at our facility. That's what the company wrote.
But it was a double box and the shit was, you know, wrapped up like that, man. Like, the only thing we don't know is when she opened the box, was the pack like that at first? That's some shrimp, dog. That ain't never been no a piece of cereal flavor.
Bro, that's shrimp, man.
Yeah, that ain't never been no...
That shit, like, hold on.
That ain't never been no kind of, like, cluster of seasoning I ever seen. Bro, in any cereal box shrimp. I ever seen. Yes. That's shrimp tails. The one right there, you can see the piece of the... where the meat usually don't come out when you try to pop the tail off and it don't come off right.
That's what give it a... that's what gives it away.
Mm-hmm. If you eat shrimp, you know what it looks like. Because you've done it a bunch of times. You try to hold it and try to... and it don't come out right and you still got that little inch.
Well, apparently, this is what's crazy about it. Maxim wrote a story, right? Shout out to Maxim. How Topanga is connected to the viral Cinnamon Toast Crunch shrimp trial story. Shrimp tail story.
6 degrees of separation. Hit me with it.
Boy Meets World actress Danielle Fisher Karp has a direct connection to the serious saga that's blown up on social media.
Which is a fish.
Ha! The Cinnamon Toast Crunch Shrimp Tail saga has taken yet another strange twist. The wife of the man who made a host of unsavory discoveries into a sugary breakfast cereal is none other than the former Maxim model Danielle Fisher.
Okay, so it's her. It's actually her.
Yes, the Boy Meets World actress who played Topanga in the 1990 sitcom Why Are There Shrimp Tails in My Cereal? This is not a bit. Her husband, comedian Jensen Karp, tweeted intentionally.
God, dog.
Oh, yeah. Got the pen up and up.
Shit.
Amen.
Man.
Yeah, man.
Bro,
Danielle Fisher. Yep, that was her husband.
Comedian is married to Topanga. A comedian is married to Topanga. Bro, come on, man.
Shout out to her, man.
Yes. Like, I don't care what kind of dude you were. If you were watching Boy Meets World, at one point she was your crush, even if it wasn't in the beginning. You had an attraction to her. You might have moved on, but you had one.
Nah, bro, like, they had a, Hollywood had a very, like, I liked it, Kelly, and I liked it, Topanga.
Two totally different types of chicks.
But, I mean, in the reference of, like, sitcoms, main chick. Like, they gave a certain gloss to it that was, like, I feel like in both cases they found the right actress for the job to play those roles. Because it was, like, a young kid... it was just like, oh, okay, word. Like, out of all these shows that's on TV, these are who catch my eye.
Yeah, true.
Like, I'm like a young teen, preteen. I ain't into these dramas, what the hell, but I'm going to stop for this. Why? Because I think she's cute.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same reason I started watching Degrassi. Not to notice that years later, well, I did notice, but not to know that years later, this motherfucker who got shot and paralyzed and ended up in a wheelchair that was making t-shirts and shit, and by the end, was back to walking and had another girlfriend because he was on and off again with this other chick who was also very attractive to me back in the day.
Canadian Drake. Robot.
Yeah.
And rap
the
star.
One and only.
Drake,
yeah. Wheelchair Jimmy, dog. That motherfucker was important to a lot of Degrassi storylines. Him and damn Spinner, boy, I felt so bad for Spinner. Like, this motherfucker cannot catch a break.
Boondocks is being pushed back to 2022.
I mean, when is Atlanta supposed to come out?
I don't have direct knowledge of that.
Okay, so I'm thinking they probably trying to keep them from interfering with each other. But I mean, they're two very, you know, black exclusive, black important shows. I don't think they would want them to be in competition with each other in that sense. With both of them quite sure rolling in the same circles, I don't think either one of them would want to try to take away from each other. So, I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe not really trying to tack anything onto it. Just throwing it out as two black creatives who would probably be conscious of it.
Oh, okay. We need more people in the director's room.
Well, really do.
Around the table.
Yeah.
Provide insight.
Yeah, for real, man.
Speaking of insight, I want to switch this real, real quickly.
Okay.
I ain't going to say much about it, but George on that bullshit with the election law that was just recently passed.
Okay.
I do have to just take it there. Sweeping changes to Georgia's election signed into law, as reported by AJC. Brian Quinkley signed a vast rewrite of Georgia's election rules into law Thursday, imposing voter ID requirements, limiting drop boxes, and allowing state takeovers of local elections after last year's close presidential race.
Oh boy, this does not sound good.
Kemp finalized the bill with just over an hour and cleared the General Assembly, leaving no doubt of the fate of public pressure against voting restrictions. Republican lawmakers pushed the legislation through both the House and the Senate. Over objections of Democrat lawmakers, the legislation passed along party lines with votes of 34 to 20 and Senate of 100 to 75 in the House. A protester, it was reported that Representative Park Cannon, as she was detained when she objected, that was viral on social media. Let me see. I'm trying to find more information on what was actually in the bill.
Yeah, there it is right there. Absentee voters will be required to submit driver's license.
Driver's license numbers or other documentation upon the new process of checking their identity to replace the signature matching process. Let me see. In addition, there will be as little as 1 week for early voting before runoffs, down from the current 3 weeks of early voting period. The bill calls for runoffs to be held 4 weeks after general elections, not 9.
That's fucked up.
Yep. And they cut the voting hours, making it more difficult for people to vote, said Rep. Erica Thomas, a Democrat from Austell. Too many people fought, bled, died, fought right to vote. Republican lawmaker said the measure will increase the trust in the election's outcome following the unsubstantiated claims. They fighting unsubstantiated claims, like, okay. Also in this bill.
Wait, go back up. No, what's this? Our goal is to what? Ensure that voters in Georgia have confidence in the elections process. Says Senator Max Burns, a Republican from Sylvania, Georgia. This is a solid step in the right direction to prove voter integrity. How, when you're making it harder for people to vote, then you're giving the federal government the right to take over a voting precinct? You have to have an identification, but if you have a voter registration card, that's supposed to be enough to let you vote.
The bill will allow the state election board to take over county election boards that deem need intervention. Skeptics say that will allow a Republican official to decide which ballot counts in majority Democrat areas such as Fulton County.
Gerrymandering, bruh.
In addition, the legislation sets a deadline to request absentee ballots 11 days before the election day and disqualifies provisional ballots cast in the wrong precinct. Distributing food and drink to voters waiting in line is also prohibited.
Bro, come on, man.
Bro,
that's not advertising for anything at all. That if you in line and you've been waiting there for 30
minutes. Done, we done made it harder. The line finna be longer. And we
But
we
you gonna, can't get no snacks.
We're making you suffer to do this.
And no snacks.
Like, you really got, I mean, that's the thing that I guess boiled grind my gears about it is,
bro,
it's like, like, come on, bro. Like, they're calling it, the report goes on to say they're calling it Jim Crow 2.0.
I'm not mad at it. I mean, it's almost kind of like that, because what they're doing is they're being racist without being racist, because they're like, we'll set these certain standards that they're not racist standards, but certain people fit into this category that can't vote. So now we can eliminate the possibility of these people being able to vote, even if they qualify to vote. But now we've set these rules that keep them out.
What bothers me the most about the bill was, if this is how y'all feel, y'all could have just, in this bill, just made it a state holiday. Y'all could have just said, you know what? On top of everything, we're going to make this a state holiday. We're going to make, like...
So that's the only time all this shit comes into account.
The drop-off boxes, you can't drop them off outside. You actually have to go inside to drop off the box. So there's a potential you may have to wait in line just to go inside to drop off the box, because you can't drop it off outside anymore.
And I'm quite sure there's going to be more than one person. Right. There's only going to... Yeah. Thank you. There's not going to be just one person coming to drop off some all these votes at this specific time.
They can set an extra low capacity and just...
Yeah.
Filter it.
Yeah. But they're, once again, they're like, look, they're trying to alleviate having certain votes counted or certain votes even be able to be made. I'm with it. Okay. And like they say, they can put certain parties in other districts to manipulate the vote.
They said they're going to challenge it in court. Voting rights organizations are planning to challenge it in court. So we'll leave the GA news right there. Because GA just had that, what, it was a shooting?
Yeah, man.
Bro.
In a hostage situation, like.
Oh, yeah, another mass shooting?
Yeah, bro. Like I said, I know an agent of provocateur when I see one, bro. This is not no isolated incident. This is back on that Falcon Winter Soldier shit.
Like any,
on some flag smasher shit, bro.
Any tragic event can be played up to like do anything, bro. Like, it's all about spin.
Yep.
You know what
I'm
saying?
But I don't think this is just isolated. These people that were these stand back boys got a whole different plan. Or maybe it's a whole different group. But these motherfuckers acting the same way, moving separately like that. Nah, it ain't all isolated, bro.
I'm just like, no, bro. Like, this has been...
orchestrated.
Like, the greatest, like, as far as a threat, like, that's one of those things that you really feel like, no, bro, like, that's a real something's outcome of living in America, is like, that shit going down like that, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
you think America's peaches and creams and, I mean,
No, people know it's like the guns there, and it's just like...
Yeah, like, people shoot each other and like, whatever.
It's really...
It's rough out here.
It's not bad all the time. It's not bad everywhere, but... sometimes when it's bad, it's just bad. It's getting real bad,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like real, really, really bad sometimes in certain places, at certain times.
Right, and, like the places where it's bad all the time, sometimes it gets worse than that. And it's like, how? Because it does. That's just the way it is over here.
Yeah, man. It's that's the biggest, most unfortunate thing about all of this. It's just it's so dark.
And the place where you think everybody's supposed to get along, where we don't, and that's usually the reason why all the bad shit happens, because the falsehood of believing that America is the place where everybody gets along and it's the melting pot of the world, it ain't.
I think that's why we gravitate to these heroes, like, as much as we do, is in the sense of living in that world where there's a hero that can really save and make a difference, and true good people outside of, you know, 6 and 7 year old kids that believe in this straight black or white version of good or evil. There is no gray misconstrued area. It's this is good, this is bad. Like back when good and evil is just that pure, not complicated. You get older, everything get complicated, and the goalposts get moved so much, and you get so used to shit being the way it is and being exhausted from trying to change it that, I don't know, sometimes you just can't.
Get kind of jaded to it. It's like, look, man, I need the side I can be on. It's like, look, sometimes it's fucked up and you got
to
work that way.
You're going to need something to pull you in that's going to be like, yeah, boy, this world right here, fire, bro. Like, damn, bro. Like, that's.
Like, yeah, it gets fucked up, but we can still do it.
It's a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You're just like, yeah, man, all Batman got to do is this. All Iron Man got to do is this. Oh, my God, I can't believe he did that. She did this, you know.
It's a fantasy that's. It's believable enough to give you inspiration.
Yeah, man. When done right, it's like hope.
Yeah.
Like, they do it like superhero moves, man. They give you hope.
Definitely.
The endless supply of those. Like, I think that's the ultimate goal.
Well, speaking of not having hope, once again, Australia, the land of doom around every corner, governor official has an anime figure and a statue of the Joker on his desk, and they declare that a psychological hazard. Australian government official has a display of pop culture, comics, and anime figures in their office, and they have been declared psychological hazards, according to a statement from the Comcare government agency. The bizarre intersection of public servants and waifu figurines has entered the national consciousness.
The what?
Yes. The bizarre intersection of public servant and waifu figurines.
Public servant and waifu figurines.
Yes. Has entered the national consciousness over the last year. Around 20 figurines reportedly displayed in the office of Gerard Boyce, who remains the deputy president of Fair Work Commission, and the figures have become the subject of debate as a Senate estimate hearing. Both Work Health and Safety Authority's findings were revealed as NSW police and Comcare confirmed that they were investigating allegations that this same official let off firecrackers at a work function last year. A Comcare spokesperson said on Tuesday that authority had examined Mr. Boyce's figures, which depicted comic book characters including the Joker, Harley Quinn in fishnets, Captain America, and Scarlett Johansson's bodysuited Major from Ghost in the Shell after they were revealed at Senate estimates a year ago. Mr. Boyce was forced to remove a scantily clad figurine from his office after staff members raised concerns. The Senate hearing was told.
Down the pics?
Yeah, I have them right here.
They're nothing out of the ordinary.
And the Captain America is a bust of fucking Chris Evans. Nothing out of the ordinary. This is a dude who happens to like to keep some of his fan shit at work, evidently. So he was forced to take that stuff out. Then he installed a life-size cutout of Donald Trump and fake security cameras, which he then had to remove.
That's the Captain America is just Chris Evans. Captain America. That was also in it.
And then they had to make him take the Donald Trump out, which was that. And some fake cameras. They say also, we did not identify any contraventions of the Work Health and Safety Act 2011, but considered the display of the figurines to be a psychological hazard. It recommended members and staff of the Fair Work Commission which decides unfair dismissal disputes and determines pay and conditions in Australian workplaces, themselves undergo training, including on unacceptable conduct and sexual harassment policies and available supports. NSW police confirmed on Tuesday it was investigating the alleged firecracker incident from last year. On Friday, March 19th, NSW police received a referral from the Fair Work Commission regarding an alleged incident involving a 47-year-old man in December of last year. A police spokeswoman said an investigation is now underway. It is illegal to possess or use fireworks in the NSW without a license. A spokesman said that ComCare has an open inquiry into relations to the alleged incident and the FWC Sydney offices in December 2020. A source close to Mr. Boyce, who was not authorized to speak on the record, said the commissioner had used some throwdowns at a work function last year. There was no risk to anyone, and the referrals to the police were a waste of time. Mr. Boyce's defenders have previously said his figurines were a hobby and available for anyone to buy at mainstream stores such as EB Games. Man, shout out to EB Games. They ain't got them bitches in America no more. Shout out to the old Macon Mall where they used to have it. It's arguable the referral is another act of malice, the source said, suggesting it was politically motivated. The composition of the Fair Work Commission is highly politicized, with many of the members who preside over disputes coming from union or employer backgrounds. Mr. Boyce, a former barrister, worked for employer groups including the Australian Mines and Metals Association before his appointment by the coalition government of 2018. So basically, y'all don't want this dude to have his nerd shit at work. Mm-mm.
Now, what all I got to do with all of that? That's what I'm listening to this shit like, okay. I just don't want him having his shit at work. It's just like, hey, yeah, bro, like, we don't deem that professional. Well, fuck you, niggas, my office.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, bro, his office. Like, bro, that's his office. He has that right. Get off his dick.
Yeah.
I'm just like, man, look.
Get off his dick, bro. And it's not like he has anything that's questionable or nothing like that. Like, yeah, Vampirella is like revealing and shit, but.
And I ain't saying he don't. I ain't saying this stuff. It, definitely, I would question some of that. Absolutely, I'm questioning.
If you didn't know
shit.
No better, yeah, you'd be like, why is this almost naked vampire in this dude's office? Like, but hey, they have all this other symbolic shit in their office. Why not let him have some comic book characters in there?
Just like, bro, I like looking at it, bro. Like, damn.
This is my shit. I got Captain America in here, too. Like, what else you want? Then he put Donald Trump in there and some fake cameras. Well, I can see the fake cameras is like, no, don't do that. But the Donald Trump, it's a standee. It wasn't even like it was a doll. It was just a cardboard standee. Made him get rid of that.
They tripping, bro.
We'll be professional. Well, on to something else. Not related to either of the two. Resident Evil reboot. It has officially been titled Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City.
Ooh.
Draws inspiration from John Carpenter. It would seem that going about the Resident Evil film reboot is all wrong, at least in terms of the film's title, according to director Johannes Roberts, reported on by IGN during an interview at South by Southwest. The Resident Evil movie is Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City. Roberts also shared a few new tidbits for the film, which is scheduled to be in theaters this September. Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City. I was about to say Resident City. Raccoon City will adapt the first two Resident Evil games and, as we've known for a while now, will include main characters from both titles. As with the original game, Welcome to Raccoon City will take place in the year 1998, and we'll tell the events of Raccoon City being under siege from zombies. Also, as we've known for a while, both Spencer Mansion and Raccoon City Police Department will be featured. In addition, IGN also snagged a brief interview with Roberts, who says that he wanted to focus on the tone of the film. Things I loved about the games is that they were just scary as hell, and it was very much what I wanted. The atmosphere. It's rain. It's constantly dark. It's creepy. Raccoon City is kind of this rotten character in the movie, and that sort of atmosphere in the game is what I put into the film. Not only that, but Robert says that he drew inspiration from John Carpenter's Assault on Precinct 13 and The Fog. In terms of getting the feel, I am a huge John Carpenter fan, and I really took to that. The way he tells these claustrophobic siege movies, and I took movies like Assault on Precinct 13 and The Fog, and these desperate group of characters coming together under siege, and I took that as my filmic inspiration. It comes out September 3rd, 2021. Cast includes Kaya Scodelario. Oh, shit. That's how you spell her name out? I've never seen it. I've only heard it be said. Hannah John Common, Robbie Amell, Tom Hopper, Evan Jogaya, and Neil McDonough.
There you go.
Well, like as long as
Redo Healing and gave me so much. Like,
nope, I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh,
this is the first time I've not been able to say nothing about it, dog. Like, I'll come back next week, but you can say what you want to say.
You're like, you gotta say how this shit end, how it end.
Yeah, I need to know, man. I need to know. Go ahead, dog. Go ahead.
This motherfucker was drinking wine in prime rib, bro. Front row view. Bro, this, oh man.
He's got the life.
No, bro, like, this motherfucker, dog. Just the sheer balls of every time, just the attempt at shot value. Like, they don't disappoint.
No, they don't.
Like, they don't disappoint. But fine, I'll wait till the finale to take a deep dive on that one. But man, his revenge schemes, like, this one seemed so simple. In the end, it was just like, eh.
Yeah. But it was still fucked up as hell.
That shit was like on some Titan shit, bro. Like, damn, bro. Really? Wow.
It's like that?
Wow. Like, sick, bro. So I'm just like, all right, man, what bullet? All right, bro, this motherfucker going out of his way. Oh, how many episodes, man? But you gotta be at least two more episodes. It can't just be one.
It can't just be one, man. Like,
no way.
Because he's going to fuck Bullet up.
Yeah, I got to see how this goes. I'm going to keep diving in weekly.
Oh, my God.
I started watching Wonder Ed Priority. That was weird. Okay. About these kids. Find the egg. When you go to this dreamlike place, you get an egg. Mm-hmm. You crack the egg or open the egg. A person comes out the egg. Person comes out the egg. You got to save the person that came out the egg so they can, like, cross over or some shit. I don't know. But anyway.
Did they come out like a baby or a soul or?
Nah, it might be they soul. All I know is these kids keep getting these eggs because they all got friends that committed suicide and had to go through some dark ass shit.
Damn.
I don't know. One girl just think she gonna bring the statue. She's told she'll bring the statue of her friend back to life if she gets this many eggs. And it, animation wise, it looks really dope. Story wise, it was a lot of chatter about it, so I decided to give it a shot.
Okay,
it's not an action. It's like a twisted psycho slice of life, trying to see where it goes. But it looks great.
He says it's called what now?
Wonder Egg Priority.
Wonder Egg Priority.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a couple of games that are on the internet that can be played. Those people out there that know about RPG Maker games, they probably know about it. Yumi Nikki, Yumi Tuki, Dotflow, all those kind of games. But you go around like the dream world and you collect eggs and they give you different abilities and different powers. So when you said something about an egg and
crack it open and you have to save this person.
Yeah, they get powers and shit. Like, they get giant weapons and shit they can use to keep them from getting eaten, because apparently the people like Ed can die in this realm, but they can't. Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah. It gives you Madoka vibes a little bit. A little bit. Just a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, I started watching Decadence, but it was a twist in that one, 3 episodes in. And I wasn't really feeling the twist, because now I can't even understand the merit of the anime, because it was a twist that changed. It's a twist that changed completely how this whole anime is viewed.
Okay.
And I don't know. It's not. You get presented this world that you feel is this real world, then you find this real world is just a game. But then you keep dealing with these real world events. But it's told from the perspective of the people who are just playing this game. I mean, it's getting told from the perspective of the people who live in the game. Like some of these people are NPCs.
Okay.
And some are just like real people. And, you know, it's like when you die, do you pass on? If you die in the game, if you die, you die, you die for real. Some sort
of SAO shit. Turned into an NPC or some shit.
Right. Yeah. And everybody's been told no, but what if?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. What they if? Tell you, no, you don't die in real life, but what if you do die for real in the game? What if you die,
now you're an NPC? Like, yeah. And it pretty much just goes from there. Hmm. Like, so it becomes a fake out of something else. So it's like 3 episodes in, they kind of show. So I got to see where it's going, but this is Decadence. It's not what I expected. Not what I expected. That's not to say it's not good, but I decided after the 3-episode run, I decided to hold it.
Okay.
I decided to put it on hold. I might go back and finish it off. We'll see what's up. But I ain't jumping on much else. I think I was going. I'm going to binge the Inuyasha spinoff, because I wanted that to build up before
I. Oh yeah, it. Yeah, me too. I hadn't decided to try to watch that either.
No, I wanted them to get as many of those episodes done.
Yeah.
As soon as they wrap up the first season, things like 24 episodes, that's when I was going to binge.
Yeah, because I watched like the first three, and then I was like, nah, I'm not fixing the.
Watch this shit week to week.
Nah, like, no. Nah. I need to know what the fuck is going on.
Right. I can't do it.
Nah. Mm-mm. Well, I'll tell you what I started.
What's that?
Surprisingly enough, Superman and Lois.
Okay.
Because I'm not a fan of Superman at all. You can. Ask anybody.
Oh, I know.
Anybody can ask me. I'll tell you. I'm not a fan of Superman. My sister is, not me.
Open up Justice League. Yo, bitch ass nigga. Oh.
I mean, yeah, but I do appreciate the black suit though. I mean, I did grow up on that. I do have the Death and Return of Superman at the house. So I mean, I do appreciate good storytelling. Where good storytelling is. But
decent caveat.
Yeah. This show is pretty good.
What?
Yeah, man, it picks up with the same guy who plays Superman on Supergirl. I don't really watch Supergirl like that either. I watched it at first to give it a chance.
I thought you was all in.
No. I watched like the first two seasons. Then switched I was like,
it with Batgirl.
Fuck no. And oh, funny thing is, they recast.
Yeah.
Mm.
Nah,
that's,
keep going.
That's got to be something else. But yeah. That was an interesting show to pick up. Superman moves back to Metropolis. I mean, moves back to Smallville from Metropolis because he gets fired. He and Lois have twins waiting on them to get their powers. And it's funny that that picks up and Invincible picks up with a similar storyline. You think the super... Well, I'll give minor spoilers because I've seen up to episode 5, I believe. So if you guys have not seen this, don't want to know, you can skip forward or something. So I'm about to tell you. This is Superman and Lois and their twin sons that are in high school, living in Metropolis. Superman gets fired, finds out his mom is about to lose the house because she helps other people that are in financial trouble or in other kinds of trouble in Smallville. He decides, okay, well, we got to go back home, save the house. I'm going to open the farm back up because his mom dies. His dad's already dead. His mom dies. They show it. Like, she dies before he can get there.
type shit. So then we have Superman here back in Smallville. Lana Lang is there. She's married to a firefighter. Their relationship ain't that great. Evidently, they came back the summer previously and the twins met Lana Lang's daughter. Don't really know if that might be Superman's love child. Where did I leave off with that?
Okay, so the boys in high school.
One of them is super athletic. The other one has a social anxiety disorder. Like, they address it on the show. He goes to therapy. He's medicated. Neither one of them are exhibiting powers, but they feel like the super athletic one is the one that would inherit the powers.
Right.
Not so. The socially inept, no, I won't say inept, but the socially awkward one is the one. Yeah. They go to a little high school kids drink party, bonfire type thing. He's hanging out with Lana's daughter. They met last year. Like, oh yeah, catching up on old times and shit. He misreads a signal, kisses her. She's got a boyfriend. He comes up at the wrong time. Like, what the fuck? What you doing, son? Big buff black dude plays football type shit. Like, what you doing, son, to kissing my girl? He said, oh, he didn't know I was going to tell him, but he kissed me before I could tell him shit. And he, you know, I can't, oh, whatever the fuck, and shoots eye beams into the fire. Boom, whatever. Yeah, so now they have to keep him at home. He's like, yeah, this guy's got the power. So now we got to play it off like he's sick. He can't control his emotional things or whatever. And Superman's like, nah, son, you know, it's okay. I'll teach you the way. But at first, he was thinking that it was the other one. Lois's dad is in the military, and he's like, what? You told your sons you're Superman? What the fuck are you thinking? That's terrible. He doesn't think that it's a good idea for him to have told them. He doesn't think it's a good idea for them to have moved to Smallville because Lois is away from where she needs to be. And him being Superman is taking a toll on her. You can't see it, but I know it because I'm her dad and all this kind of shit. But he is mad because Superman chooses to make family choices at times when he wants him to be making Superman choices.
That's why Lex.
No, that's Lois's dad.
Oh, Lois's dad. Okay.
Because he's like, oh, I made the choice to, you know, serve the military over my family to protect you and provide for you. He's like, yeah, but that shit ain't working with us. Like, we're choosing to be a family while he's Superman. Like, that's what we're doing. You want him to separate being Superman from being Clark. Like, no. I know that he's Superman. We will treat it as such. They are one and the same. The kids know now. One of the kids got powers. You don't know that yet. He finds out, but like, yeah, one of the kids got powers. Boom. He feels like that's all fucked up. Like, you ruined the kids' lives and all this kind of shit. Like, dude, your son-in-law is Superman.
Right. I mean,
get off your own dick. Like, he does whatever you need him to do.
Oh, bro, he's an alien, bro. Motherfucker, like, fuck, like, this is, oh, you an alien, bro, you ain't even, no, bro,
I'm but just... it's not even like he's got like some harbored like human racism or some shit. No, it's not even that. It's just, you're Superman, like, make choices, don't be distracted. Like, no, you separate home life from Superman. Like, if you got to miss dinner to be Superman, you miss that shit. No matter how important it is, like your son's football game, oh, fuck that, you, well, Superman. That, but
that's like, different then, because I'm thinking like he just don't like him because he's an alien. If it's just on some, I'm like, bro, that's
one. He wants him to treat his superhero life like how he treats his military life.
It ain't, you ain't him, bro.
Exactly.
You're trying to micromanage just because you got access to him.
Right.
Leave
exactly.
That man alone. If I'm Superman, I'm like, bro, get out my face, bro. Like,
He showed up at the house on that same shit. Like, yeah, I'm going to stay for a couple of days because maybe if I help out with the family.
I'm taking you up to the stratosphere. We're going to have this talk and I'm going to drop your ass. You got to the time we dropped. Like, make up your mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you got a problem, you need to find a way around it. Like,
because he really be shit talking Superman on some nigga, we the government. Like, yeah. We're the military. Do what we say shit.
I ain't even seen this shit. I'm already annoyed.
Yeah, but I mean, it's real good because you get this dynamic and it's like you don't think about Superman's life that way.
Having to deal with that shit.
Yeah. And it's to the point where Lois knows, like, there's no hiding it. It's just the kids didn't know. And then it got to a point where when they came back to the farm, shit, I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, they found this shit. I won't say what else, but they found this shit. So it was like, well,
took y'all this long?
Yeah.
Y'all were terrible kids.
No, they never. Well, whenever they went back to the house, he would always tell them, don't go in the barn. And there was a whole bunch of farm shit in there. They city kids. It wasn't interesting. So they would never have found it.
So, like I said, y'all were terrible kids.
No, there's build up.
I got you. I know. I'm just talking shit. I'm like, y'all were some terrible kids.
They not as terrible as you think. They city kids. We country as fuck. They're city kids.
No, I'm just looking in the sense of like, man, if you a kid, you a kid. You supposed to don't go in there. We're supposed to go in there.
They city kids. They mama is from Metropolis. Superman. Well, Clark is a country boy.
Boy Scott ass little boy.
Yeah. Yeah, they super citified. You know what I mean?
Y'all like, lucky. Y'all lucky when none of the Bruce kids hang around. I'm down. Them motherfuckers would exploit that motherfucker.
Well, I mean, this is only connected to Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl, but they hadn't made mention of them yet.
I know, I'm just talking shit.
But this fucking Doom Marine dude did show up. Come to find out, it's a Lex from... I'm saying he's from a multiverse. He's like, my world got destroyed by you, and I'm here to stop you before you destroy this world. So... that's where we are with that right now.
Okay.
Superman and Lois. It's pretty interesting. And like I say, I'm not a Superman fan, but...
5 episodes in, you want to see how it goes?
I'll give it the first season.
Okay.
I'll give it the first season.
Word.
Flash is about to end. Getting interesting.
Mm.
He got his speed back. He had to recreate Speed Force. They had an artificial one.
Mm.
So to catch you guys up who didn't know what was going on to Flash right now in this season, Mirror Mistress, or Mirror Queen as she ended up calling herself, this lady made a mirror dimension while trying to create super reflective microchips. She ended up creating a mirror world with sentient reflections. Iris gets sucked in there. Lots of people get sucked in there. I'm going to just shortcut it. Some of them die. Some of them don't. They're trapped in there. They can't communicate with us because they're in the mirror. Their replacement is infiltrating places. Flash can't figure out what's going on because he's lost his speed. He's having to harness latent tachyons from the Infinite Crisis thing. The Council of Ricks came, or Wells, Council of Ricks from Rick and Morty.
Exactly. I was like, hi, Council of Ricks.
Yeah, the Council of Wells came. They're like, look, man, we'll help you. They're all dead now. But all their particles went to the original Wells, so now he's back. The original Wells from season 1 of The Flash, who died and was replaced by Eobard Thorne. He's back. Flash recreated the original Speed Force with his help. Now he's got his powers back, but now not just his lightning, there's the blue lightning, there's the yellow lightning, there's the red lightning. All the lightnings got recreated, so all speedsters are back on the table. We don't know what's going on. When Flash was getting his powers back, Wells looked off camera at something that they still have not shown us what it is yet. I feel like it might be Zoom. Or Reverse Flash. I think when he recreated Reverse Flash Speed makes the most Force, sense. Yeah, when he recreated the Speed Force, he came back. And he was able to see him. Because since he's the only Wells left, he can hear all the other Wells in his mind. He's got all their knowledge and all that shit. So if he's still out there, I mean, you could see him too. That's just where my mind went with that. They haven't confirmed that yet. Cisco's back from his trip that he had been off of. You know, he hadn't been on a few episodes. He wasn't in the first episode of Flash. There's always the Team Flash episode. That's always the first episode. Cisco wasn't there, and Killer Frost wasn't there.
Oh, she's permanently still Killer Frost. She never got over that whole.
Well, no, her and
I want to be cured bullshit.
Well, her and Kate merged. One of the multiverse ones, her and Kate merged. So they share one body. Well, spoiler, do you want to know?
Please indulge me.
They got split apart, but they didn't say how yet. That was like the little cliffhanger surprise at the end of this week's episode. She was talking to Cisco and he was helping her because she was having these real bad headaches. And Caitlin was telling Killer Frost, like, no, don't worry about it. In her head, she was like, yeah, don't worry. It's just a headache. And Cisco scanned her. He couldn't find anything wrong. And she was like, oh, okay, cool. So she came back later in the episode and he turns around and they're both standing there. So somehow they've split.
Oh, gotcha.
But on one episode, when Flash didn't have his powers, they had to fight Mirror Mistress, and Caitlin slash Killer Frost took some velocity and she had Flash's powers for a while. But leading up to that, she was asking Barry all these questions about being the Flash, like, well, when you run, how do you run? How does it feel? This kind of thing, like how he thinks and shit. Because he ended up having all the wells in his mind for a little while. But he didn't have his speed, so it was burning his brain. They had to get the wells out of him before he literally burned his brain up and died. So she was asking him, like, how does it feel to, like, think fast and all that shit. So I feel like she might have, when she had the velocity, come up with some way to try to separate herself. And they're going to get back around to that. And Cisco has upgraded his tech now. Abracadabra, the dude who plays Polka Dot Guy on Suicide Squad, who's getting money from DC and Marvel because he's Ant-Man's homeboy. That dude was Abracadabra on this season. He's from the 64th century, where Booster Gold is from. And he came back in time to get these three crystals to awaken, well, not awaken, but bring the Kronok back to the past, which is this council that controls time in the 64th century. They want to stop the Flash because he keeps fucking with the timeline. And he came back to the past to do it.
That's literally his niche, but okay.
Yeah. I mean, basically, yeah. But at this point, they're like, look, you keep breaking time, dog. Like, we sent back a Time Lord. Basically, we sent back a doctor without calling him a doctor to stop you from doing the shit. You still did it. What else are you going to do? So, there's no way to stop Barry, really.
Yeah, do what the fuck you feel like you got to do, bro. And you can't deny him that. Yeah. Oh, his heart. His heart always in the right place.
Well, Iris, he... Well, actually, there was one time when it wasn't, because he dampened his emotions by... It was an episode that happened a couple weeks ago. He was based solely on logic. And he had gotten to the point where he was thinking so fast and, you know, thinking so predictively that no emotions were involved in anything. So he went and got Iris out of the Mirrorverse. She was about to die at the cost of doing it. And he was going... I mean, he probably wasn't going to kill him, but he beat everybody else. Killer Frost, the whales that was there at the time, he ended up dying on that episode. Cisco, he beat her. Caitlin beat her. Then the other chick who can manipulate the tachyons, he beat her. But they had this quantum ball. And the thing about the ball is, when you throw it, it can end up in any place. It's in constant superposition. So from the moment you throw it, it can end up anywhere in any multiverse that the ball could end up if you threw it. And Barry was the only one capable of catching it because he could see all possibilities of where the ball would end up. Like, if you're standing in here and the ball has the possibility to go around the world, then the ball can do that. It's not saying that it will do it, but it has the possibility. So if you throw the ball around the world, it also has the capability of bouncing off something across the world, too. So you don't know if it's going to come back or not. But
that makes sort of a life equation.
Yeah. I'm trying to give some point of reference for you to understand how fast he was thinking. Like, he was able to use the ball and he pulled some black dynamite shit. I threw that motherfucker before I came in the room type shit.
That was dope.
Yeah. So then he came back to his realization. He's like, yo, I'm fucking up right now. I did something wrong. He fixes that, gives up his speed. Something happens.
Okay.
So that's the overview of where Flash is right now. None of the other speedsters have come back yet, other than, like I say, I think Flash or, I mean, Reverse Flash or Zoom. They were off camera, so we never saw them.
Shout out to the Flash.
Oh, yeah. Other than that,